Well, hello there. Welcome to season 4, episode 35 of the Still Becoming podcast. Now, I don't know if you can tell right now. You might be able to tell as I keep talking, but I've got a cold. And normally I wouldn't record with a scratchy voice like I have right now, but I really want to get this to you sooner rather than later. And just looking at my calendar, there just wasn't any way I could wait 3 or 4 days to record this episode for you. And I thought to myself, we're friends. This is season 4. We're almost at the end of season 4 even. So you understand if I have a little bit of a scratchy voice. I've got my very favorite Harney and Sons hot cinnamon tea here with me with some honey in it. And I'm counting on it to see me through as I record this episode this evening. But before we get going, just a few housekeeping items. First of all, don't forget to take a look at the show notes. I always have all the links, the scriptures, anything I've mentioned in the episode. If I have a guest, I have all of their links there as well. Don't forget the show notes. If you're like me, you're listening in your car. And so you may not have an opportunity to do that while you're listening, but go back because there's lots of information and resources there for you. The second thing is, if you haven't already, would you please follow or subscribe to the Still Becoming podcast? It's free, but it means everything to me. It helps my message reach people who have never heard of the Still Becoming podcast before. It really, really helps. And finally, if you feel the Lord tugging on you to donate to the Still Becoming podcast and help me with the production costs associated with bringing the episodes to you twice a month, you can do that by buying me a coffee. Thank you so much for considering that. It's really hard to ask, but it is expensive to bring this to you twice a month. Most podcasters by far do not make any profit at all on their podcasts. That's not even really the goal. The goal is to break even. So if you'd like to help me break even, I'd so appreciate it. The link is in the show notes. Now let's get going on episode 35, where we're going to talk about dreams. Hi there, friends. Welcome to the Still Becoming podcast, a place where women like you and me find help to move from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Laura Acuna. The Still Becoming podcast is where we gather to rethink our thinking about ourselves, our lives, and about our God. We will learn to reframe our shame and trade in limiting beliefs for the liberating truth from God's word. And why the title Still Becoming? Because that's the Christian journey, isn't it? As we apply God's perfect word to our lives for growth and change, we are always growing, always learning, and still becoming the women He created us to be. It's never perfect, and it's not too late. Do I need to say that again? It is never perfect, and it is not too late. I am so glad you're here for the journey, and I'm praying that God will speak directly to you through today's episode. Are you ready? Let's go. So let's talk about dreams. And I'm not talking about the dreams that we have when we go to sleep at night, although these kind of dreams can show up in those dreams too. But I'm talking about longing. I'm talking about a dream or dreams that you may have, that I may have for our lives that have not come to fruition yet. And I'm wondering if you've stopped dreaming, if somewhere along the road you stopped dreaming. As a coach who spends a lot of time with women who have either stopped dreaming or believe that the dreams they have are not going to come to fruition, or they don't see how they're going to come to fruition, this has become a theme in my everyday life. And then recently, I had the occasion to ask myself some curiosity questions, I like to call them, about my own dreams. And so in this episode today, I want you to think about the longings and the dreams that you have or you have had, and ask yourself if you've stopped dreaming. As I was preparing today for this episode, an email came through from Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith. You may know her from her book, Sacred Rest. She is amazing. If you have not found her yet, please do. She will impart quite a bit of wisdom about our bodies, about our minds and our souls, and how we need rest. So this email was for ministry people and about moving forward in ministry. But what she wrote really applies to our dreams. So she says here in the email, that a wall, an invisible wall, will come up that will get in the way of our dreams. She says, this wall is erected by our fears and is held in place by our beliefs and mindsets. But here's a truth worth considering. There are no weak people, just worried ones. God has called us to be people of courage who will take action and walk by faith. Now that's a word. There are no weak people, just worried ones. Boy, that resonated with me. Does that resonate with you? It's our fears that keep us stuck. And we have plenty of them, don't we? So I want to give you some scenarios from my own life that I've learned quite a bit from after the fact, of course, going back with curiosity questions and asking myself, why did I think that way at that time? What was going on? What's behind that? And I hope that by sharing my own stories with you, you will see yourself in some of my stories, even if they're not exactly in alignment. I think the underlying truth will probably resonate with a lot of you. And then also to share with you the goodness and the faithfulness of God over the long haul. So my first story is about my job. When I had my epic failure in college at age 24, and I believe I have shared that with you in previous episodes, I came away from that experience as a college dropout with a GPA of about 1.5. It was horrible. There was so much shame around that. And I needed to get a job when I finally quit and walked away from it and gave up. So I went to work for our local school system in a position that I didn't love. But it was a good position for me at that time. It was an excellent hourly wage. Our school system has Cadillac benefits, still does. That was perfect for me. And I was desperate for a job that would help me support myself. And so I took the job in the school system intending to only be there a short time. It was not what I wanted to do, certainly not my gifting, nothing I loved, but it was a job and I could do it. I could rise to the occasion and do it. And I did. Well, fast forward, the job that I thought would only last for a short time while I figured out things ended up becoming a 38-year position. You heard that right, 38 years. I retired from that job in 2021. And I want to tell you that for the entire 38 years, I didn't love it. I didn't love it. There was this longing inside of me, this dream inside of me. I couldn't even put a picture to it, but I knew I didn't belong there. I knew that I wasn't in the right spot for me. Now, let me stop for a moment and say, in real life with real people, we often have to work in situations that are not the true us. You know, I understand that. And that was certainly true for me. We needed the money. I was married shortly after taking that job, and we needed the money, we needed the benefits. And it ended up being a job that was extremely flexible for raising children. And it was perfect, honestly, in every other way, except I just didn't love it. And I had this deep longing that I needed to be doing something else. Well, fast forward 38 years. And as I looked back over that time, I realized that for most of that time, I'd been sad. Felt like I was a square peg in a round hole. And here was the astonishing thing. Even though that longing was there, even though I kept feeling this pressure that there has to be something else I could be doing that would be good for my family and also good for me, I never one time looked for another job. I never even inquired. I never wrote a resume. I didn't look at the want ads. That's what we did back then. I never even tried. That was remarkable to me. Because by the time I retired in 2021, I'd received so much healing for my limiting beliefs and my false thinking and my broken heart and all those things. I looked back with astonishment, not with shame, not with condemnation, but kind of, wow, you never even tried. Why? And of course, I realized I lived in a false belief that there was nothing left for me, that I'd blown it by dropping out of college and this was the best I could do. It never even crossed my mind to take the risk, the tiny, eeny, weeny risk of writing a resume and sending it out to somebody. That's how paralyzing fear can be and how it keeps us from longings and dreams. Now, I am eternally grateful for that position because, again, it was beautiful when I was raising my kids. It was great for our family. And as my parents got older and were sick and dying, I had family benefits that covered me there too. I was able to be present with both my parents. It really was a blessing of a job. and I thank God for it. I have a retirement because of that job. But what I want to hone in on right now is that I never even looked. That was astonishing to me. And I want to ask you, do you have a dream, long-time dream, something that's gone on for a while? You feel this nudge in yourself that there's just got to be something else and you haven't even tried? I'm not saying God wouldn't have said no to me and said, Laura, you're in the right place for you and your family. And that would have been fine. It is the whole point of this is letting dreams go dormant and ignoring the longing. Have you done that? Story number two is connected with this. I had this epic failure in college and I had this deep longing to finish my degree. I really wanted to. It meant a lot to me. It was important to me. But again, for 30 years, three decades, I didn't even consider it. Even though it was constantly bubbling up inside of me, I just pushed it down. Impossible. Never. All those words were in my head. You can't risk another failure. That was what kept me stuck. Never one time even looked at a college catalog, got online, thought about how I might be able to finish school. By the way, my husband did. The first 5 years of our marriage, he finished school. So it wasn't like I didn't have a perfect example in my household. I believed it for him, but I didn't believe it for me. So my other question for you is there something that you aren't believing for yourself, that you're too afraid? Are you worried about taking a step toward this longing that God has put inside of you? I returned to school at 50 after a lot of healing, and I graduated summa cum laude 4.0. God completely redeemed the whole thing. He completely redeemed the whole thing. I have no regrets, but I am curious as to why I allowed that fear to keep me from doing this sooner. Third story, all along the way, as I have worked in women's ministry and interacted with professional female Christian communicators, I was always the one that booked the speakers for our events. I would be the mistress of ceremonies, and the speakers would say to me, almost without exception, you know, you're pretty good. Have you ever thought about being a speaker? Or, oh, are you a speaker too? And my answer was flat out no. Even though when I was a little child, that's what I did. My mother would always come to me and say, well, Mrs. So-and-so wants you to be the mistress of ceremonies for the Girl Scout pageant or whatever we were doing, the school play. I was always the mistress of ceremonies. I was always the one who was comfortable speaking in front of people. But when I gained 100 pounds at the age of 11, I completely believed that it was over, that whatever God had for me was done, that he could no longer work with a mess like me. And that lid got shut and shut tight. So anytime someone would approach me and encourage me in that way, the answer was always no. And I could even feel that feeling of, gosh, I wish I hadn't gained all that weight or maybe I could do it. Can you imagine that thinking? But that's what I lived with for a long time. Limiting beliefs, worry, paralyzing fear, feeling as if there's nothing left for me. One of the scriptures that I have clung to and taken as a promise straight from the Lord to my heart has been Romans 11:29 in the Amplified Version. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, for he does not withdraw what he has given, nor does he change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. I love those words, irrevocable and grace. I love those words. It brings to mind a picture that I've had in my head forever of a wooden box with a hinged lid. And in that box were my dream of a career that I would love, a dream and a longing to return to school and graduate and to get that shame off me, a dream to use the gifts and abilities that he's given me to serve him in ministry throughout my life. And for so long, I shut that lid and I literally sat on it to keep them from coming out and terrorizing me, quite honestly. But I know now that is not God's intent. He doesn't put those longings in us to terrorize us and to say, you can't have it. You could have had it, but you can't have it now. That's not what he's doing. He's waiting. He's waiting for the time to be right. He's waiting for healing that has to happen, for limiting beliefs to be replaced with his truth, for courage to rise as we apply those truths to our lives for growth and change. He does not take it away. It's there. It's still there. I don't know if you know this or not, but life coaching is the second most growing profession in the United States. We probably can thank COVID for that because so many people came out of that experience wanting change. And that might be you. Are you in a transition? Have the kids left home? Are you thinking about retirement, but you can't make sense of how you are going to be fulfilled and serving God well in the next chapter of your life? If any of this resonates with you, life coaching may be your next right step. Let's find out. Head on over to my webpage, go to the coaching tab, and fill out the free discovery call form. I'd love to encourage you as you embark on your next chapter, helping you uncover your God-given potential, deepen your faith, and build confidence and authenticity. Although every client has their own unique story, my prayer and my goal for each client is that her life will blossom with purpose and faith and ultimately be overflowing with joy. I remember probably, 20 years ago, hearing a message given at Women of Faith by Dr. Henry Cloud. And it was called God Has a Dream for Your Life. And this was before I put my foot on the healing path. However, things were bubbling up because, you know, God will bubble up and bubble up before we actually move. And so I hadn't moved yet, but I was taking in a lot of encouragement, a lot of promptings from God at that time. And this message, God Has a Dream for Your Life, was one of those gifts really to me. So I'd love to tell the whole story right now, but I can't. But in essence, Dr. Cloud was saying that God has a dream for your life. And for some of us, because of our upbringing, because of some of the difficult things that have happened in our lives, our talents and our gifts and our abilities are buried. And it doesn't mean they're not still there, though. And so for some of us, we're going to have to take some steps to unearth those dreams, those talents, those longings, those gifts, because we have been self-protective and have shut the lid on that box and we're sitting on it. And so what I heard him say, he even said, for some of you, you're going to need to go to school. For some of you, you're going to have to learn a new skill, or you're going to have to take a step into a place that you're not comfortable. And when he said that, it really planted a seed that I'd been waiting for God to drop this dream into my lap, the fruition of this longing into my lap. And the truth was, there were some things I needed to do. And there's some things you might need to do too. And I'd like you to consider that. Are there things that you need to do, actions that you need to take to unearth what's been buried? Have you felt that nudge from God, that whisper of a dream in your soul? Is it still there? Can you refuse to be afraid of it and embrace the truth that God has not placed it there to terrorize you, to make you feel less than, to make you feel like you're incomplete? Now, there are other longings in us that may seem frivolous. It may seem selfish. Now, I have one more dream, one more longing to tell you about, and I need to be honest, it is the most recent one. I alluded to it in the beginning of this episode, and it's a dream and a longing that I've had for, decades. I'm a decade girl. I've had this longing for 49 years. And by the time this dream comes to fruition, it will be almost 50 years. And I'll tell you that this dream, throughout these 49 years, when it has bubbled up, when it has been like a dull ache inside of me, I felt like it was selfish. I felt like it was frivolous. I felt like, why would I even pray about this? This is silly. You know, this is not the kind of thing you pray about, because we get really tied up, or I'll just say I can get really tied up believing that my dreams and longings that God has placed in my heart are always for service. They're for the church. They're for my family. They're for the lost and hurting world, but they can't just be about me. So the dream that I've had for 49 years is to go to France. And there's a backstory to that. I'll give you the quickest version I can. When I was 16, my grandfather died, and he was a beloved soul. I just adored him. And there were so many remarkable things about him. He was a musician. He was the timpanist for the National Symphony, among other orchestras. he was creative and fun, and he had lived quite a life. And one major part of his life was that he was a World War I soldier in the Argonne Forest in France in 1918 and 1919. We heard many stories over the years about his experiences over there. He did not tell the children about all the horrific things that happened because he was in the trenches and it was a brutal, brutal situation. But he did talk about the liberation. He was there for it, and Paris. And so he talked about Paris a lot, and I could just imagine how beautiful it was. And I was intrigued by it. I thought, oh gosh, one day I'd like to go, but I never really thought I would. Back then, you know, when I was a little girl, you know, travel was very, very expensive and very few people got to do that. So it wasn't anything I really thought would happen, but it did in my 16th year. So my grandfather died in October of that year. And the following April, I went to France with my high school on a trip during spring break. And I have a profound memory of being on one of the boulevards when I first got there and becoming very aware that my grandfather had been there. And of course, I was grieving. I missed him. I was nostalgic. I mean, I just had all the feelings you have when you lose a beloved grandparent. But I realized that I was the only other person in our family that walked the streets he walked in Paris. I was the only one who had that shared experience with him. And so I, on one hand, was joyful that I did have that experience. But on the other hand, I was grieving and I was sad that I couldn't talk to him about it. You know, those feelings that you have. So it was a significant trip for me for that reason. And then it also was significant because I fell in love with it too. I just loved it. We went to the Chateau country in the Loire Valley and we saw the castles, and I love history and I just soaked it up, had such a great time. And when it was over, I knew I'd be back. Well, you know, life happens, and I didn't go back. Well, now it's 49 years ago that I last stepped foot in France. Over the years, I've had this dull longing in my gut, just like, oh, if only I could go back. I've actually had real dreams about it, smelling the jasmine we would smell in the streets and the sounds and the way the sky looked, everything. You know, I would have dreams. But I always told myself, that's frivolous. That's, you know, that's not happening. And I just buried it. I just put it in the box, shut the lid, and sat on it for 49 years. Well, last fall, Pat and I celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary, and we knew we wanted to take a trip somewhere, but it was a busy ministry season last fall for both of us, and we decided to postpone our trip until 2024. And we didn't know where we wanted to go. We hadn't really discussed it yet. We'd had some conversations from time to time about a cruise or something like that. But in December, he said to me one day, he said, I have an idea about our anniversary trip. I said, okay, fully expecting a cruise. And he said, how about we go to France? How about we go to France for 2 weeks? Well, I was speechless, to be honest with you, and not because I don't have the kindest and sweetest and most caring husband, because I do. And he never one time ever told me no, that I couldn't go to France. No one told me no. This was self-inflicted, 100%. But I just couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe it. And so, of course, I said yes. And after the first of the year, we started planning for a trip this fall. But what happened was really interesting. I could not bring myself to help plan. I just didn't. And that's so not like me. My normal self is to dive in and get all the information and start planning right away. But I didn't this time. So he's planning and he's running things by me and I'm answering. And at some point, he said to me, do you want to go? And I said, oh my gosh, of course I do. And he said, but it's not like you not to be all involved in the planning. I'm surprised. Of course, I was sort of aware of that, but I wasn't paying attention to it. And so that prompted me to ask myself, you know, coach yourself, those curiosity questions. And as I dove into it and was asking myself, what's the problem? What's going on here? What's underneath this? I realized I had done the exact same thing that I'd done with my job, my ministry, and returning to college. I believed the nevers. It'll never happen. self-inflicted, telling it to myself, and I buried it. And it's hard to unbury it and to believe that it's really going to come true. And the other part of this was there was some residual feeling that it was frivolous, that it was indulgent, that, you know, if I spent the same money going to the Holy Land, that would be significant, but this isn't. And so I had to have a talk with myself and I had to pray about it. And as I prayed and I asked God questions and I reflected on my own behavior and my belief system, God showed something really sweet to me. I was reading an article about marriage and relationships, especially when you've been married for a long time. And one of the things that can happen is you don't have fun anymore. And that doesn't 100% apply to Pat and I. We have fun and we go out to dinner and we go to antique shops and peruse the countryside and we spend time with our granddaughter and we fly out to California to see our son and extended family. So it's not like, you know, we're just sitting around the house or something like that. We have fun. But what goes away a lot of times are the dreams, the adventures, the planning, the looking forward to something really special. And so what I was reading basically said that one of the things that is such a benefit to a marriage, to a relationship, is to plan an adventure together and go. And as soon as I read that, I thought, oh my gosh, God, you are so kind. This is not frivolous. This is not silly. You are giving us a gift in our 40th year of marriage. You are giving us a gift. Isn't he so kind? He is so incredibly faithful. So now we're having fun planning. I have to tell you as an aside that just to illustrate, you know, how much I'd buried this, in my basement right now is a bin. And inside of it is my France scrapbook from 49 years ago, pictures that I took of all the places we visited, and a diary where I wrote every day where we went, what we did, you know, what was going on in my head. I'm sure I journaled about my grandfather. And I have never pulled that bin out to look at it. Never. That's how far buried it was and how much I was avoiding the pain of looking at that dream and that longing. And so I'm going to turn it back on you, my friend. Have you done the same? There are so many things that can happen in our lives that cause us to lay down the dream, to hide it, to bury it, to put it in the box and sit on it, whatever metaphor you may come up with for yourself. I know that my widowed friends often feel like if there's no one to dream with, why dream at all? All my dreams went with him. It's not true. God has left you here to live your life for your remaining days, however long they are, and he has dreams and plans for you too. The same for my divorced sisters or sisters who have lost beloved family members and you just don't want to go on. Now look, if you're in a season of grieving, that's not time to dream. There's no time to dream when you're grieving. Grieving is your most important work. But when the sun comes back out again and you can look up and out again, I want you to know that God has a dream for your life. It isn't over and your dreams did not die or leave with anyone. Some of us have had trauma and disappointments and failure like me. And as Dr. Henry Cloud says, God still has a dream for your life. Maybe some things that you need to do to get moving on that, to unearth it, to steps that God wants you to take. And it's not that he makes us work for the blessing. It's that the process of moving toward him and becoming more aligned with his will for our lives teaches us important, sacred, and holy things about him that we couldn't learn any other way. Don't fear the journey. Don't fear the journey. Habakkuk 2:2 tells us to write the vision down, write the dream down, and keep it before us. It's really important to do that. I've already gone into detail how I've done everything but that when it comes to my dreams and longings, but I know better now. Write the dream down, sisters. Write them down. Don't be afraid of the pain that may come by viewing those words on a page. Put them in front of you and ask God to show you how to move forward. I'm not going to say that he brings all of our longings into fruition. I'm not going to say that. I can't, because what we long for and what we want from our lives has to line up with his will. But I will stand by that longing, that dull ache, that feeling of something is unfinished. In general, I would trust it as a longing from God, one that he has put in you for a reason. I'm going to pray for you now. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you care about every detail of our lives, and that if you've put a longing or a dream inside of us, it's not frivolous, it's not silly, it's not stupid. And Lord, you're not dangling something out in front of us that we can't have. You love us, you care about us. And Lord, we are all in with the lessons that we'll learn on the journey with you. Thank you, Father, for caring about every intimate detail of our lives and for giving our lives meaning and purpose every day, all day, until the last day when you bring us home. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, you and I, my voice, and my hot cinnamon tea have made it to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for stopping by today. Now, don't forget to take a look at the show notes, as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode. May God bless you and keep you until we meet again. I'll see you next time on the Still Becoming podcast.